bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill. And now, today's word.
Today I'm preaching a message. I've preached this message before. I preached it about 15 years ago. But as I was just thinking of what to preach on, it came back to me and I just felt I should bring it back. I'm doing a different treatment of it, but I believe it would be a great blessing to you. My message is titled, Defend Your Portion. Defend your portion. Defend your portion. Many times God blesses us with things. We receive things from the Lord. We experience His favor. We experience His goodness. And then we lose it. People pray for things, and when the things happen, they lose it. Some people pray for a job, and then they lose the job, or they pray for healing, and they lose the healing, or they pray for God to give them a good marriage, and they somehow lose it. There is something we have to do in order to protect the things that God has blessed us with. So turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 28, and we will read from verse 8 to verse number 12. 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 to verse number 12. And this is an account of what the Bible describes as the mighty men of David. David, as you know, was a warrior, was a military man, and he had people around him who were called mighty men, who in current terms you would call them special forces or commandos, or people who are special trained to do special things in the military. And the Bible talks about three of those great mighty men of David and their exploits. And I'm going to focus on one of them because what he did is related to our message today. It reads, these are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb-Bashabeth, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Eznite. That's a nice nickname, isn't it? Adino the Eznite. Because he had killed 800 men at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Verse 11, and he's the one we're focusing on. After him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop. There was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. This was a time when there was lots of wars. In those days, we didn't have the kinds of treaties we have now at the UN, ECOWAS, or AU, where there was territorial sovereignty. And when you had your property, you could be sure that nobody would come to take it from you. In those days, nations gained wealth not through productivity, but through warfare. And so when you built, somebody will come and take your building. When you planted, somebody will come and take your field from you. And so always you had to not only produce, but defend what you have produced. And one of the perennial enemies of the Israelites were the Philistines, because they were neighbors. And any time the people of Israel produced something, these Philistines will come and dispossess them. And at this time, they had developed a farm, lentils, a plantation. They were hoping to eat from their produce, and all of a sudden, the Philistines come to take from them what they had labored for. And the Bible says the people fled, but one man stood and defended his portion. What do I mean by your portion? Each one of us have what is your portion. Your portion represents several things. First, it represents your destiny as God has determined it. God has a destiny for each one of us. He has a place for us in his plans. Your destiny is that place of honor and significance that God has laid aside for you. It includes your spiritual heritage, your salvation, your relationship with God, your faith in Christ, divine healing, the provisions of the promises of God, and so on and so forth. These are your portion. Whatever God promises you in the scripture, it's your portion. It's your destiny. It's where God wants you to be, or how God wants your life to turn out. Never allow anyone to tell you that your place on earth is useless, and never allow anyone to tell you that God has no plans for you. Your destiny is your portion. Second, your portion reflects your God-given gifts and talents. For us to arrive at our destiny, God has given us gifts. He has blessed us with unique gifts and unique abilities. These also will include your spiritual gifts, the callings of God upon your life, what God has chosen you to do. These are your gifts. And although these gifts are given by God, they may not be in operation because sometimes we allow Satan to take the gifts of God from us, or to deny us from developing and using our gifts. Your gift is your portion. It's something God has given to you. If you don't defend it, somebody is going to take it from you. Thirdly, your portion represents the opportunities that God brings your way. When you develop your gifts well, God will arrange events and situations to your advantage so that you can manifest what he has given you to the rest of the world. Each one of us will be given opportunity in life, an advantage in life, an open door in life. That opportunity is your portion. You have to defend it. And finally, your portion represents your achievements and your successes. Everything you have achieved, everything you have obtained in life, a relationship with God, a good name, an education, a profession, an acquisition, a business enterprise, your marriage, it's an achievement. It's something you've done successfully, and that's your portion, but you have to learn to defend your portion. Anytime God gives you something, your portion, anytime God blesses you with something, adversaries will contend with you over them. There will arise enemies. There will arise people. There will arise Satan himself to fight you over what God has blessed you with. You don't even have to invite him. He will come. The devil is attracted to every project God is involved in. The devil is attracted to every person that God is interested in. When God shows interest in your life, Satan will also show interest in your life. And so you have to know that adversaries will contend with you. An adversary simply means somebody who works opposite of you, somebody who works against you, not in your interest, but against you. Our chief adversary is Satan, but he also works with his agents, both spiritual and physical. The devil works with demons, with all kinds of spiritual cohorts. He also works with human beings. He speaks to people and he directs people to try to take from you what God has given to you. And so it was with David's army that they had planted their field. They had labored over their field. They had toiled over their field. I'm sure they had prayed over it. They had committed sweat to it. Now the lentils had grown. It is bearing fruit. It is time to enjoy the fruit. And all of a sudden, the adversary comes to take from them. Many times when we have labored for something and we are just about to reap, that is when the enemy comes in. And if you read the account, two things happened. The Bible says the Philistines gathered as a troop and they came in. They surrounded the Israelites and came to dispossess them. The first thing you'd notice is that the enemies will come. When God blesses you, the enemies will come. Don't invite them. They will come. They invite themselves. Satan is a gate crusher. He would gate crush into your marriage when you haven't asked him to come. Just when the marriage is getting well, that's when he gate crashes. Just when you have gone through struggle and things are about to work out, he gate crashes. Just when you are invested so much in your education, you're going to sit your final exam in order to get your certificate or your degree, he gate crashes. Just when you have grown in life, you've worked so hard, you are about to go on retirement to enjoy the blessing of God over your life, he gate crashes. The enemy will come. But not only does the enemy come, look at what happens. Friends will flee. It seems as if the entrance of enemies signals the exit of friends. The Bible says when the enemies come or came, the Israelites fled. They fled. They left their field. They left the thing they had worked for. And Shammah was left alone. Because many times in the battles of life, you're going to fight alone. You're not going to have anybody there with you. If you want your best friends to be there when you are in trouble, you're a joker. The poor has no friend. You only have friends when things are going well for you, when everything is fine and everybody wants to be your friend. But just get into trouble. Then one by one, they leave with nice excuses. You turn to the left, to the right, and you say, but last year I had so many friends. This year what has happened? You are in trouble. When you are in trouble, you lose friends. People are going to abandon you. And you will be left alone. So this soldier, Shammah, is left alone with his field of lentils. What is he going to do? He can also elect to flee. He can also run away from the battle because at this time he's totally outnumbered. The question people ask Many times when they go through difficulty is, why me? Have you asked that question? Why me? The question I ask you today is, why not you? Why me? What? Who else should have the problem? You think the problem should go to somebody else? Why me? Because you are you. Why not somebody else? We wish every problem goes to our next door neighbor. But the next door neighbor also wishes the problem will go to his next door neighbor. Unfortunately, you are the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor wants the problem to go to. So it lands on your doorstep. So why does the enemy attack? I'll give you four reasons why the enemy attacks. First, the enemy attacks basically because you are not on his side. You are not on his side. The attackers were Philistines. They were of a different troop. They were not on the side of the Israelites. The enemy attacks because you are not on his side. You belong to a different group. For Israel, they were a different nation. They worshipped a different God, and they had different beliefs. You came under attack because you are different. Because you are not one of them. People don't attack you because you are like them. They attack you because you are different. If you don't want attack in this world, don't be different. Be like everybody else. Blend in. Fit in nicely, and everybody will be happy with you. But if you do that, you will never do anything extraordinary. If you're going to achieve anything extraordinary, you have to stand out from the crowd. But when you stand out from the crowd, it is easy for you to be targeted. It's because you are different. Secondly, the enemy attacks because you are producing results. The ground was producing lentils. When you are unfruitful, people leave you alone. We say in our local proverb that the tree that bears fruit is the one that has the stick lying underneath. That simply means people who use stick to pluck fruits, they don't pluck fruits from a fruitless tree. So when you see sticks around your life, it simply means somebody has seen fruit on your life. Your fruitfulness, your productivity, the results you are producing will attract somebody. And so they attacked them because they were producing results. Not because they were just living their lives, wallowing in non-productivity. Who cares? Just stay in life and do nothing and you will have peace of mind. Do nothing. Don't have any great idea. Don't have any great dreams. Don't aspire to greatness. Don't seek to achieve anything. Just agree with everybody's opinion. Whatever people say, say yes, sir. Oh, say you are my friend. Say I agree with you. And you'll be the best person to everybody. But you'll be the worst person to yourself. If you are going to try to do something with your life, somebody will want to pluck your fruit when it ripes. So, you get attacked because you're producing results. The land was attacked because it was producing lentils. Thirdly, you get attacked because your success is a threat. For somebody who wishes your downfall, when you succeed, it diminishes their power. You threaten them. And so they're going to seek to stop this threat. You know, you go through life, is very funny, isn't it? You go through life minding your own business. And in your mind, you are not troubling anybody because you have not gone to anybody's field. This land they are producing from, it's not Philistine land, it's Israelite land. Now, why should you be bothered? You to go and plant your lentils, But why do you want my lentils? Well, welcome to the planet Earth, where people steal other people's lentils. Sometimes your success just annoys people. It threatens them. Somebody just sees you married and you holding your husband's hand, your husband holding your hand, if you're a woman, and you're walking hand in hand, and somebody is just looking on and is angry. You have not stolen their husband. You have not said anything to them, but your success reminds them of their failure. It threatens them. It makes them angry. It makes them upset. And people will prefer to pull everybody to their level instead of rising to a higher level. And so your success is a threat, is an annoyance to somebody else, and that's why they're going to attack you. And fourthly, people will attack you because your success will encourage others to trust God. Your success will encourage other people, especially the devil would make sure you don't have a testimony, because your testimony will encourage somebody else to believe God. Your testimony will make somebody else trust God for something good to happen to them. So they have to stop you so that you don't reproduce more people like yourself. For the people of the Philistines who came to attack the land, it was because they don't want anybody to have another farm. They said in their hearts, I suppose, if this farm succeeds, another person will have a farm, another person will have a farm, another person will have a farm, and pretty soon everybody has a farm, and they're going to be prosperous, and they're going to be mightier. So in order to stop the success story from spreading to many people, kill the one who starts the success story. And remember this, whenever you are the first to start anything successful, you will come under intense attack. Whenever you are the first in any endeavor, whether the first in your family to build a house, the first in your family to have a wedding, the first in your family to go to university, the first in your family to travel abroad, the first in your family to have children, whatever you are the first in, you come under special attacks. Because the adversary, Satan, would make sure he doesn't allow you to start. Because when you start and you are successful, you will infect people with your success. And since he is a master of failure, he would make sure nobody breaks through so the story cannot spread. And that is why some of you who are pioneers come under intense attack. Because Satan doesn't want your story to spread. Now, you can be a coward and run from your lentil field. Or you can be like Shammah and position yourself to defend your lentil field. Even when people have abandoned you, you have to consider that what you are protecting is not only for you, it's an inspiration to people after you. And you have to defend. Some of us have to be successful so the pattern of failure in our families will change. We have to change our family story, our family history. Some of us come from families where nobody has built a house. And you are the first one attempting to own a house. And you are coming against hell itself. You have to be like Shammah. You have to stand and say, if everybody flees, my grandfather ran from this farm, my father ran from this farm, my uncles have been running from this farm, my aunties have run, but I will stay in this place. I will win the victory so the story of my success will get to the next generation. You have to to defend your portion. What God has given to you, don't let it leave your hand. You must defend it. You must fight. You must resist. And you must win this battle. Because it's not just about you. It's about generations after you.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.